We've been in this series talking about God's blueprints for the building, and we've kind of started with the idea that there's a time to build, there's a time to work, and this may be a little awkward if you're a guest. Don't let it feel awkward to you. We're not looking for your money, and so, in fact, all of us here today, we found out that this is just a willing offering. This is a voluntary offering, so there's no pressure on anybody to give. If the Lord stirs in you that, man, this is something that God lays on your heart, you want to be a part of it, well, praise the Lord. That's awesome, and I believe He'll bless you for it. I think we'll see some of those things this week and next week, but for sure, there's no pressure. This is just between you and the Lord. And we started out talking about a strong foundation, and we wanted to base what we're talking about on the Word of God, because that is our foundation for everything that we believe. And so when we come to funding the ministry, it's no different. And so we found out that God lays out some offerings that are required, right? The first one was the tithe, and we saw that God requires the tenth, and He has ordained it, that we should give one-tenth of what He gives us, we should give it back to Him. And so that funds the local ministry that we have here. The other thing that's somewhat required is missions giving. There's an amount that's required in giving to missions. God says in 1 Corinthians 16 that as God has prospered you, He gives order for you to give that to missions. And so, you know, that may be $2 for some of you. That's how much you have left over. It may be $2 million. You got $2 million left over, you should probably take me to lunch. But whatever you have left over, He says, man, give it to the church. But then there are optional or voluntary giving beyond that. You want to give more to missions because that's where your heart is, and God lays the importance of that. You want eternal rewards, and so you may sacrifice some things. We call that sacrificial giving. That's not required, but God honors that, and He'll bless that. He promises fruit that abounds in your account in heaven. And then there's another level of giving called, sometimes called grace giving or faith giving, where you give beyond your own power. You can't even afford to give that much. You just give it trusting that God is going to take care of your needs. And so that is, again, voluntary. God's very clear on the difference. He either says it's an order, or He says, I don't speak this by commandment. This is my advice. And so we find those very easily distinguished in the Bible. That's the foundation, though. And so when we talked about the supplied materials, we talked about how last week how God brought the children of Israel out of the wilderness, and He has this plan for them to build a tabernacle. And so we talked about that God's purpose caused a need. That God's the one who came up with the idea of, this is what I want you to do, this is how I want you to worship me. And so because He wanted them to do sacrifices, and He wanted them to build an ark, and He wanted them to build all the things that would go in the tabernacle, that there was a need. They needed some materials. But then we also saw the other side of that, that God's power gave the supply, right? And so all the things that they would need for that offering, these slaves that had nothing in Egypt, they came out, but God gave them favor with the children of Israel. And then they got into the wilderness, and they were not soldiers, but God gave them victory over the Amalekites by Moses raising his hands to God in prayer. And so God provided for them everything that they would need. One of the cool things that we saw last week is that all that they needed to build this tabernacle, God had already provided. And the same is true with us. You've heard it say it before, that everything that we need to do the work on the building that we're talking about, we already have it. It's just in our pockets, like the children of Israel. God gave it to them ahead of time for them to hang on to. And we'll talk about a little bit of that today. Just as a review, we're talking about three main things that we want to do. One thing we want to do is on the front of the building, the driveway and the road frontage, the entrance. We want that to become a welcoming space, something that it's very clear. There's a church here, and it's a welcoming place where people feel like, yes, I can go up there, and I won't be arrested, or somebody won't be on to me. This is somewhere where I feel good about driving up the driveway. So we want to do some work to beautify that entrance and to make it better, right? We hear all the time people say, oh, man, you guys are so friendly, and we want our front to express that as well. And so that's one thing. Another thing that we want to do is create a foyer, because as you'll see today, when you start to leave, everything gets crowded right there. And man, it's just difficult to have any space to sit and talk or stand and talk. And so a 4-year is going to be huge for us. So we got some cool plans with that. We'll be unveiling some of that stuff next week. Don't miss it. So that's the second thing. The third thing is some space for our groups, especially our teenagers have outgrown that place over there in the conference room that they're in. And guess what? More fifth graders are going up next year into middle school, and so it's going to be even more full than it is now. So we want to provide a place for them to be able to grow and learn, and so that small group area for them. All right, so today what we're going to talk about is the sacrificial offering. We're going to look at this the whole reason why God had them give the offering and what they did to give the offering. So if you got your Bible with you, turn to Exodus chapter 35. We've seen that God ordered this offering, and he told Moses exactly what to make. In fact, he goes between Exodus 25 and Exodus 35, he goes into what seems like excessive detail of every little thing in the tabernacle, how it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to be made of, how it's supposed to be used, and what it's all the Levites and the order in which they'll put this thing together, and who's going to carry what and who's going to do what. He's got a lot of commands. But in Exodus chapter 35, now he's going to take that offering. So you with me? Exodus 35, let's start in verse 4. It says, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." He's going to continue on the other materials that they can bring, in blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and this for sweet incense and the onyx stones and the stones to be set for the ephod and the breastplate. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. And so the Lord begins with telling Moses, then Moses shows up to the children of Israel, and he's telling them, and notice what he tells them in our verse there, verse 4, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded." So the Lord commanded that they take an offering. That's how they're gonna fund this tabernacle. And it's kind of interesting because in Exodus, God does some pretty incredible things in providing for his people. Right, so you probably remember and know from children's church or from other messages or reading that God gave the children of Israel manna. They just had bread-like stuff on the ground. So they could go out, they wake up in the morning, and it's right there on the ground. I mean, I don't know if you know this or not, but that's physically impossible. That's kind of a miracle. So God could have done the same thing with the tabernacle. They could have just woke up one morning, God said to worship in the tabernacle, they walk out, and bang, it's right there. Huh. You know, some things God gave, he gave them birds falling from the sky so that they could have meat. God could have done that. Watch out, there's a tabernacle falling from the sky. He could have done that. He chose not to. He gave them water from a rock. You know, he did miraculous things. Why now have the children of Israel give an offering? I mean, come on, God. They ain't got a whole lot. They were slaves. And they finally get something, and now God wants that too. What we learned last week is God was the one who supplied for all those things. In fact, that's the reason why he did. In the promised land, he's going to send them into cities that they didn't even build. He's going to give them those cities that they didn't even have to build. They didn't do any work in that, but God just gives it to them. He could have done that with the ark. When they beat the Amalekites, there could have been a big tent right there. Use this for a tabernacle. But instead, he wants the children of Israel to give. So I got two things for you today that I want you to see, and they're real simple. The first one is God wanted the people to give. He wanted them to give. Well, why does he want them to give? Because that's an expression of worship. He wants the children of Israel to want to worship him. And that's really the story of God's relationship with mankind. Maybe you've asked yourself before, well, if God knew Adam and Eve were going to sin, why did he put the tree in the middle of it? Why did he put the tree in the garden for them to eat and sin? Why not give them no choice at all? Because God always gives us a choice. He wants for us to worship him, and that's a choice that you make. He doesn't want robots who don't know anything except just to do it. He wants us to choose to worship Him. That's what He wants. He wants the children of Israel to say, I want to worship You. I want to build Your tabernacle more than I want to build my own house. I want to build Your kingdom more than I want to build my kingdom. I want You, God, more than these things, more than gold, more than silver, more than goat's hair. I mean, that's a very precious commodity. That's funny. All right, I don't think you guys are feeling me like I need you to be feeling me. So check out this verse on the screen, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 24 and 25. This is beautifully illustrated by David. King David, what is going on is there's a plague in the land and people are dying. And so David is praying and God says, okay, I want you to build me an altar in this specific spot. And so David, that's what he's going to do. So he goes to the owner of the spot and he says, I want to buy this land so I can build an altar and sacrifice to the Lord and the Lord will stop this plague. And the guy says, no, that is a worthy thing. Just take the land. In fact, I got some yokes for my oxen over here. Use that to start the fire. And my oxen, use those to sacrifice to the Lord. This won't have to cost you anything. That sounds like a great deal. But listen to what David says. It's on the screen. King David said to Omon, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor burnt offerings without cost. You know, that's really interesting because he says, I'm not going to take it if it doesn't cost me anything. Worship always costs us. In our ministry training class, we were looking at the first mention of worship in the Bible, and it's in Genesis chapter 22, where Abraham goes to worship the Lord. He's going to offer his son as a sacrifice to the Lord. If the extent of your worship is simply singing, and singing is an expression of worship, but if that's all it is this your only way to worship the Lord is by singing, you're missing out on what worship really is. It's a giving your best to the Lord. It's showing Him He's more important than anything else. For Abraham, even more important than the son that God had promised to him and he didn't have until he was 100 years old. All his hopes and dreams, God's purpose for his life, wrapped up into this child. For David, he says, I'm not going to worship the Lord with something that doesn't cost me, so I'll pay full price. That's the heart of worship. That says, I choose the Lord. And I want you to notice here in verse 5, when the Lord commanded him to give it, commanded Moses to take the offering, but notice in verse 5, to take you from among you an offering not unto Moses, not unto the people of Israel, unto the Lord. When you give an offering, give it to the Lord. It's an offering to Him. It says, look at verse 22, skip down some, to when they're actually bringing the offering. It says in verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And look at what 24 calls it. He says, and everyone that did an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Man, when you give, and you give in this voluntary offering, just like the children of Israel, don't give it to the church, don't give it to the youth ministry, give it to the Lord. Tell Him, you're worthy of my best, and I value you, just like the children of Israel. I want to build your kingdom more than I want to build my own. I want to build your house. That's the heart of worship. So primarily when we give to the Lord. Man, can you imagine being these Israelites that gave? Last week we looked at that tabernacle. For the next 400 years, that tabernacle would be the place for worship. Every sacrifice that would be sacrificed to God would be sacrificed at that tabernacle. They would offer prayers and incense, and God's presence would be in that tabernacle. Can you imagine having a part in that? Now, that's cool. For generation after generation after generation, we're talking about 10 generations of people worshiping the Lord. Now, I don't think that Jesus is going to be 10 generations from coming back. I think He'll be back in a generation or two. But man, when we give and we're looking, I love this. Think about this. You look at these walls. You see where that sticks out a little bit right there? I love that it sticks out right there. And you see where that one sticks out over there? Between those two used to be a hallway. Did you know that? Used to be a hallway. And that area back there, behind that, where it jets out right there, that was where we used to meet. Way back over there, just a little conference room. Man, some of you were there and you remember what that was like. I mean, we were packed in there. The walls were all the way against the chairs. So it was just a little skinny, you know, you had to move around people to get in there, and it was packed. And the band was in there. Daniel was beating the drums and everybody was going deaf. And it was like just a regular height ceiling. And man, it was loud in there. And man, well, we were thankful for it. But then God gave us this. But you know how God gave us this? By some of the people here saying, man, I believe that God has something more that he wants to do. And now we walk in, we feel blessed. Man, look at this space. Nobody's packed in too tight. And it was so hot. Do you remember how hot it was back in the day? I mean, that one air conditioner just couldn't do it, man. It was baking us. I always sweat anyway, but man, what an investment. I don't ever look back on that and say, man, I wish I had done something different with that money. Man, I thank the Lord. My daughter was baptized here. In this room. God's done some awesome things. When you give to the Lord, you can even see how he's going to use it. But remember what we learned last week. There's a lot you can't see. Yeah, for 400 years, they're going to use the tabernacle to worship the Lord. And God's going to meet with them. And God's going to do some awesome things. But remember that tabernacle, it was just a figure. It was just a shadow, right? Do you remember when we talked about? Do I have the picture up there this time? Oh, yeah, good. All right, so we got this picture of what this thing is going to be, right? And it's those three places. The brazen altar is in the outer court and the laver there. Then you got the holy place, and then you got the most holy place, or the holiest of all. Sometimes we call it the Holy of Holies. And then the Holy of Holies, or the most holy place, that's where the very presence of God was. It was made with a mercy seat and these cherubim that overshadowed it. And what we learn from the Hebrews 8 and 9 is this is all just a picture of the universe, right? And this is teaching us about God's presence. And that most holy place is the... Oh, by the way, Paul talks about the first heaven, second heaven, and the third heaven. And that's what's being represented. That's what Hebrews 8 and 9 tell us. It's a picture, a figure of the true tabernacle made in the heavens, not made with hands. And God, by using their offering and kind of what they understood he was going to do, God was doing so much more than they could even imagine. Because all this, what happens is one time a year, we saw it in Hebrews, one time a year, a high priest goes into that most holy place. And he brings the blood of a goat and he puts it on the mercy seat to roll back the sins of the congregation of the children of Israel for 1 year. And year after year, he would only come in. Only one person went in that place. He only went one time a year. Nobody else could go in. Between those two, there's a veil. It's of fine linen, and they've carved into it these cherubims, stitched into it these cherubims. And it represented the very throne room of God. And Hebrews explains that all that was just a picture of the high priest, Jesus, who would one time offer blood, not the blood of goats, but his own precious blood. And he would rend that veil from top to bottom, the Bible says, to allow us access into the most holy place. And so now we're not like the children of Israel who, you know, we can't go into the presence of God. Now we can go boldly before the throne of grace. We can go right into God's presence because our high priest did that. But listen, that's all a picture that those people gave, and they had no idea what God was going to do with it. I'm telling you, I find this true in every area of my life. When I give to the Lord, I give it to the Lord, and I just know he's able to do a lot with a little. He's able to take what I think, and he goes exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that I could ask, and above everything that I could think. That's how good our God is. When you give to the Lord, it's not just like giving to a man where you think, well, I give this to James, this is what James is going to do with it. Listen, I'm pretty limited in what I can do with it. But our God's an infinite God. He's almighty. And he's got wisdom that exceeds his foolishness is wiser than our wisdom. All right, we got to keep going. Let me show you Matthew chapter 6, 19 and 20. It says this. This is, by the way, the reason why God wants us to give. says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth or rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, what God's doing is He allowed the children of Israel to have some things from Egypt. He said, go borrow of your neighbors. Now, how in the world were they going to give these slaves who were responsible for all the plagues that have been destroying their economy and their lives, how are they going to give them their jewels of gold, their jewels of silver, and their raiment? Well, Exodus told us that God gave them favor. And why did God provide that for the children of Israel? Because He knew He was going to give them an opportunity to give it back to Him. Don't you know that every good and perfect gift comes from God? That we saw in Deuteronomy last week that God gives us the power to gain wealth so that His covenant can be established and fulfilled. See, God's given us the resources that He's given to us, whether they're financial or not, for His glory. Just as those two boys that we brought up here were created by God and for God, and He gave them to us for a reason, for a purpose. Everything He gives to us, He gives to us for a reason and for a purpose. So God wanted them to give. He wanted them to give because it's an expression of their trust in Him, an expression of their value, that they esteem Him more important, more valuable than silver and gold and goat's hair and ram skins and fine linen. Listen, God wants them to say, I love you more than the things you give me. And that's a good question for you to ask yourself. If you had to choose today between a relationship with God and the blessings of God, what would you choose? These people proved it. They said, I'll give you all the stuff that I got. All right, and that's our next point. That God wanted the people to give, but the people wanted to give to God. Right? So that's what they began to do. We just read some of those verses. Let me read a few of those verses again. Look at verse 21. We're in Exodus 35, verse 21. And it says, and they came everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and for all His service, and for the holy garments. Verse 22 says, and they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, and all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. And every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And I love it that we just keep seeing it over and over. Did you notice four times he says that they were willing, or that their heart stirred them up? That's what they wanted to do. This is a voluntary offering in Exodus. This is not something that God required them to give. It's just, do you want to give? And they were willing-hearted. Man, think about that. What a great decision that was. The way God used their offering and their lives and the future generations' lives, even the picture that we looked at earlier. So why did they bring their offering? Because they're thankful that God brought them out of slavery, because they recognize that God had a purpose in giving them those resources, and because they loved Him more than those things. Can you imagine if you're one of those people and you had borrowed some jewels of gold from these Egyptians, and you're kind of traveling through the desert now for a while, and you've been hanging on to them? Man, you start to like those things, man. It's a status symbol. What did you get from your neighbor? Man, I got this sweet gold earring. Check that out. What did you get? I got some ram skins. Look at this sweater. I made this with my ram skin. Man, where did you get that sweet badger skin? Huh, borrowed it from somebody. I won it from the Amalekites. I don't know where they got that, what they did with it. Maybe they made a rug out of the ram skin. I don't know what you do with a badger skin. I don't know. But they probably had those things, and it gave them just a little bit of time to like those things. You know what I mean? So when I got married to Stacy, I told her, even when we were dating, I feel like God's called me to ministry, and I may be a missionary. And so if you're not okay with living in a hut, then you might want to, you know, date somebody else. We seriously had that conversation. And you know what? I always told God, you know, if you want me to go live in a hut, I'll go live in a hut. But I'm going to tell you, after a while, I live in air conditioning, and I start to like that stuff. It'd be a whole lot harder today to give up those creature comforts to go live in a hut. Because you have them for a while, you start to like them, and no doubt they were the same. Man, can you imagine somebody with a little bit of gold, that earring of gold, and man, they gain and they give it, and God uses it. And it goes on the mercy seat, or it goes in the ark where the very presence of God would meet. That's incredible. Imagine somebody who had a carbuncle stone. You guys have carbuncles, right? One of the stones that's going to go in the priest's ephod. Man, that's awesome. They give that, and they don't know what God's going to do with it. He does something great with it. The list could go on and on, but can you imagine what it'd be like to give that and know it's going for God's tabernacle? Could you imagine, though, if one of those people was alive today and they said, man, I just couldn't give up my goat's hair. I love that sweater. That'd be terrible. They missed out. They got a goat's hair sweater. Yeah, congratulations. Somebody told me one time that there's a story about a man who had got a lot of gold. He had saved up. He'd worked hard, became very rich. And the angels came to get him, you know, proverbially as it goes. The angels come to get him, to take him to heaven. He knew the Lord, and he said, please, just let me take one bag of gold with me to heaven. And he's like, well, you can't take anything to heaven. You can lay it up, but you can't take it with you. He's like, come on, please. I've just worked so hard my whole life. I've got this. And fine, grab one bag of gold. So he took the bag of gold. He goes up to heaven. He meets Peter at the pearly gates. You know, again, proverbially. He walks into heaven, and one angel says to Peter, do you see what he brought with him? Peter said, yeah. Why would anybody be carrying around a bag of pavement? It's because the roads are paved with gold. So sometimes we think these things, these valuables that we have, are so valuable, and these people realize there's something more valuable to them. And that's what we're talking about with this offering. It's not required. It's just for you to choose what you want to invest in. And maybe God will lay on your heart that he wants you to give. And so if he does, give it willingly. Give it with a cheerful heart. That's the way God wants you to give voluntary offerings. And these voluntary offerings, quickly, let me just tell you about it. We won't go there. These voluntary offerings, right? We find out in Leviticus there are three offerings that are voluntary. And there's some changes within those. But those three offerings are called, they're the burnt offering, the meat offering, and the peace offering, and they are called free will, or they're called voluntary offerings. It says that they're a sweet smelling savor to the Lord, right? We find the same thing when Paul talks about that voluntary missions offering where you sacrifice something to give more. He says that that's a sacrifice to God. It's well pleasing and it's a sweet smelling savor when you give that way. Last thing I want you to see in Exodus 35 is verse 4. And he says it several times, but verse 4 says, every man. He gave this to every man. Exodus 25:2 is on the screen. It says, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring an offering of every man. Verse 4 of our text says, all the congregation. He invites everybody. And I love this, that God gives this opportunity to give, not just to the leaders, not just to the old people who, you know, man, they've been in Egypt for a long time. He gives it to everybody. And I'm going to tell you, man, God gives us all that opportunity to be involved in his service, to be involved in the work that he's doing. It doesn't matter if you're young or you're old. It doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. It doesn't matter if you're one of the founding members of our church or you just recently started coming, you can have a part in it. Maybe you didn't get to get involved in the investment to make this but you can get involved in another part. Maybe you got involved in this and you think, man, that was awesome the way God used that and the way God's worked, and I want to be a part of that again. If that's what God's laying on your heart, we're going to give you an opportunity next week. So next week, we'll reveal what those plans are, and we'll begin giving. That one of the things we see about this offering is that some of them, they came and they gave, they had a one-time offering. We see that some of them, they gave every morning, that it was an ongoing thing. And so we'll do the same thing. We'll allow you to give, we'll make a 12-month. If you want it for the next 12 months, give this certain amount every week or every month, however the Lord's dealing with you, that's between you and the Lord. Give it to the Lord and then watch what He does with it. If your heart stirs you up, if that's what God's doing in your heart, if He gives you a heart for it, man, I do. I got a heart for it. I'm kind of in a place where maybe I got an advantage over you, though, because I get to hear a lot of the stories that maybe you don't get to hear. I get to see what God's doing. Some of you know those stories, some of those stories. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for what God's doing in our church, for the disciples who are choosing to follow the Lord for the first time in their life, reading the Bible. People who've been saved, baptized, people being trained, now know how to share the gospel. Man, praise the Lord for that. Reaching out into our community, supporting missionaries all over the world. God's going to do more with our earthly resources than we can ever imagine. And for that, we just thank Him. So let's thank Him now. Father, we do thank You. We thank You for the opportunity to be involved in Your kingdom.